إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. وبعد، خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحد حد محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We begin by praising Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequences of our evil actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to misguide. And whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, there is none to guide. And I bear witness that Allah alone is worthy of worship, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is Abdullah, he is the servant, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is Rasulullah, he is the messenger of Allah. After that, the best speech is the book of Allah, the Quran, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all the affairs are those matters that have been newly introduced into the religion. And every matter that is newly introduced into the religion of Islam is a bid'ah or an innovation. All of the innovations are misguidance, and all misguidance is going astray. And all going astray is in the fire of hell. My dear brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon you. Today we are here to talk about preparing to meet your Creator. And the fact is that this life is a temporary abode. We are only here on this earth for a short time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us to live our lives like travelers. To live in this life as if we are travelers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described himself and said about himself, "What do I have to do with this world? What business do I have with this world? I am like a traveler who sits under the shade of the tree to take some rest, and then I am on my way." This is the reality of this life. We are here in this world for a very, very short time. We are like travelers. We should live like travelers. We should understand that this life, in fact, is only a preparation. A preparation for a journey that is long and that is arduous, or it could be short and pleasant. And all of that depends upon what you have accomplished and what you have done in this life. We need to know and we need to understand the reality of our ultimate destination. What is going to happen to us when we die? What is going to take place after death? Is death, as some people claim, as the atheists claim, that death is the end of everything? When we die, the worms eat you, and that's it. Others claim that when you die, you will be reincarnated. You will be born again as some other creature. An ant, a dog, a cow, a worm. If you are bad, a higher caste of human being. If you are good, and if you are really good, you will be a god. This is what some people claim. But
But this in reality is mere speculation, it is mere guesswork, it is dhan, it is guesswork. These statements are not based on any fact or on any certain knowledge. What do you think of a person who knows that they are going to go on a journey? They know they are going to make a journey, and they know that this journey is to a strange place, a place about which they have no knowledge. Many people travel these days, and many people travel to strange lands. Can you imagine if somebody turned up at the airport with no aeroplane ticket? But they want to go somewhere, but they turn up to the airport with no aeroplane ticket. So they purchase a ticket. When they get the ticket, the person at the desks asks for the passport, and the person doesn't have a passport. So that person has to get a passport. Then they go back and they find they don't have a visa. And when this person goes to this country, this person didn't bother to find out whether they needed some inoculations, some injections against deadly diseases. They didn't purchase any currency. They didn't bother to find out what is the condition of this country, what is the political situation like, what is the economic situation like, what is the language of the people, what is the culture of the people. This person made their journey without any preparation. So when they arrived in this land and they suffered and they caught a disease and they died and they were robbed and they were killed, then you will say, this person is a fool who got what they deserved. What would you say about a person who knows about that country and knows about that destination and understands all of the complications of traveling to that land, and they still make no preparation? Then you'll say, this person is a double fool. He is more of a fool, because he knew what to expect, but he did nothing to prepare for it. So the first one, obviously, we will say, this person is an imbecile, is not a competent person, but the other one is even more of a fool, because he knew and he did nothing to prepare. And this is the reality of life, brothers and sisters. The reality of this life is that it is only a stage. That the life to come, what happens to us after we die, is the beginning of the journey. The beginning of the journey into the next life. The ultimate destination is not this life, but it is something that happens after we die. This life is a small temporary abode. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's like a man on a long journey who just gets off and takes a rest under the tree. A small rest to prepare himself for what is to come. But what do you think of the person who thinks that this world, which is only the resting place, this world is only the arena for preparation, to prepare oneself for what is to come? What do you think of a person who travels from Perth to Sydney by car? And they stop off on the way at a service station or a petrol station, and they start to build a house. And they start to buy furniture. And they try to make their stay so comfortable. You will say, what is this person doing? Is this person not intending to get to Sydney? Is that not their ultimate destination? Then it will be a silly person who spent all their time and their effort and their money and their energy trying to make themselves comfortable in a place for which they will not stay except for a few moments. But let us look at ourselves. Is that not how we have become? Is that not what the human beings find themselves doing? How many people have become ensnared and trapped by this world and the things of this world? How many people have become confused? How many people have been led astray? How many people have been misguided? That they believe that this life is the destination. That this life is the abode. And they have forgotten that in fact it is only a moment in a long journey to meet their Lord. A long journey to meet their Lord. A long journey to meet Allah, their Creator, the one who brought them into existence, the one who created them and who gave them life, and who will cause them to die, and who will once again bring them to life. That this world in fact has been made as a testing ground. A testing ground. A place of test. To make known the people who will believe and who will do righteous deeds. Who will believe and who will do righteous deeds. From those who will be rebellious and who will reject and who will follow the path of evil. And this is what Allah, He said in His book, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Allah tells us that He created death and He created life to make known those who will be best in conduct. Ahsanu amala, the best in their actions. And He is Aziz, the Mighty, and He is Ghafoor, the Forgiving. That is the purpose of life, the purpose of death, the purpose of this world, of its riches, its money, its treasures, children, women, houses, cars. Also, poverty, sickness, suffering, war. All of these things are a test. All of these things are a means of acquiring something that is good and beneficial. But it is only a means of acquiring something good and beneficial if you know that this world is not the destination. This world is not the destination, but rather the destination is the world to come. If this is something, and this is the reality that is constantly fixed in your mind, that this is the reality that is constantly in the front of your mind, that you constantly remember the reality of death and what will happen after death, and the events that will take place after death, then you will be able to make the right decisions in life. Only then. You know, if you ask most people, who do you think is the wise and the intelligent person? They will say, oh, that is the one who goes to university and gets good qualifications and gets a good job and makes lots of money and makes a comfortable life for themselves. This one is wise and intelligent, we think. But this is not wisdom and this is not intelligence. In fact, this could be a means of destruction. Because the wise and intelligent person is not the one who aims for those things. The wise and intelligent person is in fact, in reality, the person who remembers death. Who remembers what will take place after death. Who remembers the reality of the destination. That this life is only for preparing what is going to happen in the life to come. So the wise person always thinks, what effect will my action have in the life to come? What will my Lord say to me when I meet him on the day of judgment? This is what preoccupies their mind. Not what the people say. What will my relatives say? What will my friends say? What will the neighbors say? What will the government say? They want to know, what will Allah say? What will my Lord say? What will Allah say to me when I stand in front of Him on the Day of Judgment? This is the question. And this is the only worry that preoccupies their mind and their heart and their soul. And if you find yourself, brothers and sisters, people who are constantly worried and depressed and worried about what is going to happen and what is going to, I'm worried and I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that, then know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said. That whoever worries about the things of this world, whoever worries about the things of this world, then Allah does not care which valley of worry He leaves that person in. Like valleys, hills and valleys, hills and valleys. Each valley is a worry. Worry about this, worry about that, worry about this, worry about that. You will never have a shortage of things in this world to worry about. And if you leave one worry, if you leave the very valley of one worry and you climb the hill, you will descend into another valley of worry. And another, and another, and another. This is the life. This is the way of the people of this world. They are always worrying about something. So the people who worry about the things of this world, Allah will leave them in these valleys, wondering, and Allah doesn't care which one they are in, because He doesn't care for such people. But the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever makes all of their worries into one worry, then Allah will take care of their worries. Meaning, whoever makes their worries into one worry, what worry? What will Allah say to me on the Day of Judgment? That is the worry. That is the thing that preoccupies their mind. That is the thing that they think about from the moment they get up until the moment they go to sleep. Everything they say, everything they do, everything they think, they are preoccupied only. What will Allah say to me on the Day of Judgment? What benefit will this bring to me in the next life? What benefit will this bring to me in the life to come? That is the only thing they are concerned about. Then for sure Allah will remove from them all of the worries of this world. This is how the believer should be. This is how the Muslim should be. Because the Muslim is supposed to realize the reality that when we die and the angel of death takes our soul, the Muslim is supposed to know the reality of the grave and the torment in the grave, the horrors and the pain and the suffering of the day of judgment, where a man will run away from his mother and a man will run away from his children and a man will run away from his brothers and his sisters and his father and the people of his tribe, where human beings will run away from each other. On that day, the day of judgment, people will be only concerned about themselves. About themselves. And they will be frightened that when I see this person or I see that person, they will have a claim against me. They will have a claim against me. Oh, my father, you never taught me my religion. You told me to run after the things of this world. Now I have a claim against you on the day of judgment. Oh, my son, you did not obey me. You did not fulfill your rights on me. Now I will take from you. You will not care. Your own son, your own daughter, your own mother, your own sister, you will not care. This is a day when people will be running in fear and terror. A day when mankind will be like they are in a drunken riot. But they will be from fear in that way. People will be up to their, some of them to their ankles, some to their knees, some to their waists, and some people will be bridled in sweat because the sun will be brought close and there will be no shade on that day except Allah's shade. And only selected people, people of special virtuous deeds, people of special virtuous deeds, only those people will have shade on the day of judgment. When the sun is brought close, when the earth is a level plain, when the people are assembled in groups under banners according to their deeds and their behavior. Who will get the shade on the day when there is no shade except Allah's shade? Who are the people who will get the shade on the day when there is no shade except Allah's shade? Oh, my Muslim brothers and sisters, you say that you believe in the day of judgment. This is what you claim. You claim that you believe in the day of judgment. So I ask you, who are the people who will get the shade on the day when there is no shade except Allah's shade? If you do not know the answer to this question, then you are not people who are serious. You are people who just make a claim. You say you believe. But what benefit is your claiming to believe if you make no effort to prepare? If it has no effect on your actions? If it does not change your behavior, if you do not feel concern and worry and terror and fear when you step out into the sun and the sun is beating down on your head, do you think about that day when there will be no shade except Allah's shade? In this life you can walk into a room or a house or under the shade of a tree. How about the day when there will be no shade? There will be no shade of trees. There will be no air-conditioned rooms. There will only be those special people whom Allah, He will give them shade. You will not be able to acquire it because you will not have money. You will not have money to bribe. You will not have money to buy. You have nothing to mortgage anymore. No, if you want shade on that day, you have to be qualified according to the actions you did in this life. Did you prepare for the day of judgment? Did you prepare for the day when there will be no shade except Allah's shade? If you cannot name me now those people who will get the shade on the day of judgment, then believe me, brothers and sisters, if you're not preparing at all. What have you prepared for the day of judgment? What have you prepared for the day when there will be no shade except Allah's shade? Even in this life, if you went to a country, a desert, where there were no trees, and it was flat, and you went with nothing except a pair of shorts, you will die a horrible, miserable death. Who but a fool would go to a land like that without preparing? And what will come on the Day of Judgment is infinitely more terrible, infinitely more painful. And the suffering, brothers and sisters, will be prolonged. One day of 50,000 years for the disbelievers. For the disbeliever, it will be one day of 50,000 years. A single day of 50,000 years. What have we prepared for it? If you don't even know who are the people who are going to get the shade, then how can you be serious in your claim to be preparing for it? What are you going to find, brothers and sisters, waiting for you when you get there? What do you think? Suffering, pain, terror, fear. What do you say, brothers and sisters, about a day when mankind will be waiting and waiting and waiting for Allah to begin the judgment? And this wait will be so hard on the human beings that they will actually ask the prophets. They will go to the prophets and they will say to the prophets, ask Allah to start the judgment. This is just the waiting. Because the burden of waiting will be so severe. Mankind will first go to Adam alayhi salam. They will say, you are the father of mankind. So ask Allah to begin the judgment. And Adam will say, nafsi, nafsi. Nafsi. Myself. Myself. I remember, he said, and he will say, Allah, our Lord, is angry this day as He never has been before and He never will be again. And I remember when I ate from the tree. So he says, myself. He says, go and ask Ibrahim. He is the Khalil of Allah. The Khalil, brothers and sisters, the close friend of Allah. Or he will say, actually go and ask Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh will say the same thing. Allah is angry this day in a way that He has never been angry before and never will be angry again. Nafsi, nafsi, myself, I remember the day when I asked Allah something that I shouldn't have asked Him for. When Allah said, when Nuh alayhi salam said to Allah, he made dua to Allah, when he saw his son drowning. When his son was drowning and he said, oh Allah, you promised you will rescue my family. And Allah said to Nuh, oh, don't let yourself become one of the ignorant ones. He's not from your family. He's a kafir. He's not from your family. He's not from you. He is unrighteous and wicked, and you are a messenger of Allah. I remember he will say that dua I made myself. I'm afraid for myself. This is the Prophet of Allah who gave dawah for 950 years. Ibrahim, the Khalil of Allah, he also will say the same thing. And he will remember three things, subhanAllah, he will think of them as lies, even though you couldn't even imagine that they're lies. When he said he pointed to the idol and said, ask the big one. When he said, tell them to his wife, Sarah, when he said to her, when he went to Egypt, and we know the king used to take the women, the beautiful women, by force and kill the husband. He said, tell them, I'm your brother. Even though he wasn't lying, he was his brother. He was her brother in Islam. Was not a lie. And the third one, I don't remember what's the third one, someone will remind me. So, he will say, nafsi, nafsi, these brothers and sisters, these are the prophets of Allah. How about you and how about me? This is the day of judgment. A day when Allah, there will be a bridge thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword that is stretched over Jahannam. Jahannam, the fire of hell, the fire of hell. When a stone was dropped from the top of Jahannam, it took 70 years to reach the bottom. The fire is so hot, it consumes itself. A place where Allah will burn the skin and recreate the skin and burn the skin so the people there can taste the punishment. A place, brothers and sisters, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that the least punishment in the hellfire is when a person will have sandals with straps of fire and their brain will boil and they will think that they have the worst punishment, but in fact they have the least punishment. This is Jahannam. This is Jahannam. And every single one of us, you and me, all of us, the believers, because the disbelievers, the people who made shirk with Allah, who made partners with Allah, the people who made rivals to Allah, they will have already have been thrown into hell. The believers will have to pass. This is the people who profess to be Muslims. They will have to pass over a bridge thinner than a hair. Thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword. Over the hellfire. We'll have to pass over it, every single one of us. And what will carry us across? What will carry us across, brothers and sisters? Our deeds. People will go according to their deeds. Some like the blinking of an eye. Some like lightning. Some like the wind. Some like a fast horse. Some running. Some walking. Some crawling on their bellies. And some will be dragged and they will fall into the hellfire. Muslims, they will be dragged and they will fall into the hellfire. Muslims will go to hell. And they will stay in there and they will suffer in there. Until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is given permission by Allah to intercede, and the martyrs also, and the righteous, and the siddiqeen, they are given permission by Allah to intercede for those people who are in the hellfire. So that those people who had even a mustard seed's worth of iman, they will be taken out. And those people, and it will be said, and they will say, they used to pray with us, and they used to fast with us, and they used to make pilgrimage with us. So these are people who fasted and prayed and made pilgrimage. Will be in the hellfire. How about the people who didn't fast and didn't pray and didn't make pilgrimage? Subhanallah. And then Allah will allow every person who has the atom's weight of iman to be taken out of the hellfire. And then Allah Himself will take some people out of the hellfire. Some people. And Allah knows best who they are who did no good deeds. This is from Allah's mercy. And what waits? For the disbelievers, anyone who dies outside of Islam, or anyone who dies claiming to be a Muslim, but they contradict the principles of Islam, meaning they do things to nullify the Islam. Don't believe, brothers and sisters, just because you say you're Muslim, that you can't do things to contradict your Islam. There are many things that you can say and claim you're Muslim, but can contradict your Islam. They will actually take you outside of the fold of Islam and would qualify you to be in the hell forever. Even you claim to be Muslim. Any act of shirk, a Muslim could do it. Practicing magic. How many people who claim to be Muslim practice magic and are sympathetic to magic? This is kufr. It takes you out of Islam. There are many Muslims and people who call themselves Muslims. And this is not a talk today about these things. But if we do not know what Islam really is, and we do not know our religion, really what it is as it was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Because that is Islam, brothers and sisters. Islam is what Allah revealed to Muhammad, not what our ancestors practiced, not what our father did and our grandfather. That's not Islam. It may be Islam, but it may be something that's got nothing to do with Islam. It may be just culture. It may be something that contradicts Islam. Brothers and sisters, this is the day of judgment. This is the hellfire. And then there is the paradise, the place of peace and happiness and rest, where there will be no age. You'll not get old, you'll not get sick. There will be no jealousy, no envy, no hatred. There will be peace. And there will be all the delights and the joys that you can imagine, both spiritual and physical. And there will be things that even your mind cannot imagine. And that will be the abode for the true believers and the righteous people forever and ever and ever and ever. That, brothers and sisters, is the destination. The ultimate destination is one of two places. It is either hellfire or it is paradise. And that is the destination that will remain forever and ever and ever. Once the people, the last of the people, have been taken out of hellfire, that will be it. Allah will bring a ram. And Allah will say to the people of hellfire, "Do you know what this is?" And they will stretch their necks and they will say, "Yes, our Lord, it is death." And Allah will say to the people of paradise, "Do you know what this is?" And they will stretch their necks and they will say, "Yes, Ya Rabb, yes, our Lord, it is death." And then the ram will be killed and it will be said, "There is no more death." So the people of hellfire will despair even more because of it. And the people of paradise will be joyful even more because of it. That is the ultimate destination. This life is only the means, the place that decides what your destination is. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Allah created death and life to see which of you will be best in conduct. And who is the best in conduct? What are the best deeds? Who are the people whose deeds are accepted to Allah? They have three requirements. For your actions to be accepted, they must fulfill three requirements. Number one, you have to have iman. Meaning you have to have true iman. You have to have iman as was taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to have the true faith. Free from shirk. That is the first requirement, iman, for your actions to be accepted. Any action that is done without iman will not be accepted. It will be rejected. On the day of judgment, it will be of no value whatsoever. Whatsoever. And who is the greatest loser in respect to their deeds than the one who thinks that they are acquiring good, but they will find nothing on the day of judgment? That's the worst loser. The person who thinks they are doing good. So the first requirement, brothers and sisters, is iman. And the second requirement for an action to be accepted, for the deeds to be accepted. And this is the deeds that will be weighed on the scale on the day of judgment. The deeds that will be written in the scrolls that will be presented to us in the day of judgment. The deeds that will help us to carry us across the Sirat on the day of judgment. The deeds that we will have to exchange. If we have oppressed someone, and we have wronged someone, and we have stolen something from someone, or we killed something, someone, we will have to give our deeds to those people. That's the only thing we will have to barter with on the day of judgment. And if you don't have enough good deeds, then the sins of people will be given to you. May Allah protect us from that. That's why the Prophet said, sort out your problems in this life. Sort your problems out between each other in this life, before you have to sort it out on the day of judgment. the deeds. Iman is the first requirement. The second requirement, brothers and sisters, is ikhlas, sincerity. If your deeds are not done purely and completely and sincerely for Allah, they are of no benefit whatsoever and they are rejected. They are not good deeds. The person who does their prayer to show off, the person who does their deeds, gives charity to show off, the person who learns knowledge to show off, the person who does them for some worldly gain, for money, then these deeds are not acceptable to Allah. In fact, the first three people who will be brought before Allah on the Day of Judgment, the first one is a man who fought jihad all his life, from when he was young. And Allah will say to him, "What did you do with the bounties I gave to you?" And the man will say, "Oh Allah, I fought jihad in your path until I was martyred for your sake." And Allah will say, "You lied. You fought jihad so the people will call you brave. And they called you that." And Allah will order him to be dragged on his face into the hellfire. And the next is a man who gave charity. Who gave charity. Allah will ask him, "What did you do with the favors that I bestowed upon you?" And he will say, "Oh Allah, there was not one place where I could spend charity except I spent it in your cause for your sake." And he will say, Allah will say to him, "You lied. You spent the money and you gave charity so that the people will call you charitable and generous. And they called you that." And Allah will order him to be dragged on his face into the hellfire. And the third is a man who learned to recite the Qur'an and who learned religious knowledge. And Allah will ask him, "What did you do with the favors that I bestowed upon you?" And he will say, "Oh Allah, I learned your book to recite it. And I learned knowledge for your pleasure." And Allah will say, "You lied. You learned to recite the Qur'an so that the people will call you a reciter. And you learned the knowledge so that people will call you a scholar. And they called you that." And Allah will order him to be dragged on his face into the hellfire. These are the first three people who will be brought before Allah on the Day of Judgment. Their deeds, although they were the greatest of deeds, jihad and charity and knowledge, but because they were done for fame, because they were done for showing off, because they were done for the people to praise them, Allah will not accept them at all. Rather, they have become evil deeds for which they will be punished in the hellfire. But even, brothers and sisters, if your deeds are sincere, you do them completely for the pleasure of Allah, they are still not accepted unless they are also correct. The deeds are not only have to be sincere, they have to be correct. Meaning the deeds have to be done according to the Sharia. They have to be done according to the way the Prophet ﷺ taught it. As the Prophet said, "Man amala amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad." Whoever does an action that we have not approved of it, it will be rejected. For an action to be acceptable as an action of ibadah, it has to be, have been approved of by the Prophet ﷺ. That's why the Prophet said, the worst thing in the religion are the bid'ah, the newly invented matters. The new things people invent, the new things they bring into the religion, because they are not approved of by the Prophet ﷺ. They are invented things. And people do them thinking it will bring them closer to Allah, but it is of no benefit because it was not the way the Prophet ﷺ did it. The Prophet did not do it and the Sharia does not approve of it. So sincerity is not enough, brothers and sisters. There was a woman who came to the Prophet and she wanted to give charity. The Prophet said, "We're not interested in your charity." Why? Because she was a prostitute. She earned her money from illicit ways. Is that permissible therefore? You do something sincerely. "Oh, I'm very sincere. I want to organize an alcohol drinks party in order to raise money for Afghanistan." You have a good intention. Maybe you're even sincere. But this way and this deed is not acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not acceptable to Allah. We want to build a mosque, so what do? We get a mortgage. A'udhu billah. We borrow money at interest, riba. Riba, which the Prophet said, the lowest level is like fornicating with your mother. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the Quran, that whoever takes riba, it is as if he will stand on the day of judgment as one whom shaitan has made mad by his touch. And the people who deal in riba, Allah said in the Quran, they have declared war on Allah and His Messenger. And the Prophet ﷺ said, on the day of judgment, Allah will give that person a sword and say, now fight me. This is riba. But people think, we want to build a mosque, we take riba. Is this acceptable? No. It is not acceptable. Even if you are very sincere, the deeds are not accepted until they are both sincere and they are correct. Meaning they are done according to the sunnah. They're done the way the Prophet ﷺ did it, and in a manner that is approved of by the Sharia. So brothers and sisters, let us look to ourselves. Let us look. Are we sincere? How many of our deeds do we do purely and sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if our deeds, we manage to make them sincere, are they correct? Are they upon knowledge? Have they been done according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? How much have we really prepared for what is to come? How much have we really laid in store for what is to come? Just in case some of you don't know who are the people who will get the shade on the day when there is no shade except Allah's shade, we will finish this talk by mentioning the people who get the shade on the day when there is no shade except Allah's shade. The first is a just ruler. The first is a just ruler. The just ruler will get the shade on the day when there is no shade except Allah's shade. The next person is a man or a person whose heart is always attached to the mosque. A person whose heart is always attached to the mosque. The other are two people who love each other for the sake of Allah, and they meet for the sake of Allah, and they depart for the sake of Allah only. Not for the sake of some worldly gain or worldly benefit, just because for the sake of Allah, for Islam. The other is a person who cries in private. Who cries in private, they cry from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other is a man who is invited to illicit sexual intercourse with a rich, beautiful woman and he refuses, saying, I fear Allah. He refuses, saying, I fear Allah. And the other one is a person who gives charity with his right hand so his left hand does not know what he is doing. Meaning he gives his charity completely and sincerely. So his right hand does not know what his left hand is doing. Or rather, his left hand does not know what his right hand is doing because he gives with the right hand. You give with the right hand. Brothers and sisters, we say that we believe in the paradise. We say we believe in the paradise. But what have we done to try and reach it? We say we believe in the hellfire, but what have we done to try to avoid it? We say we believe in the day of judgment, but what have we prepared for it? Oh, brothers and sisters in Islam, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon you. This life is nothing except a preparation for the life to come. This life is nothing except a means to acquire the good in the life to come and to avoid the evil in the life to come. So brothers and sisters, be of those who prepare yourselves and do not be of those who have been fooled and blinded by the glitter and the comfort of this worldly life. And in doing so, they have gone far, far astray from the path and from the purpose. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.